Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair Skin Contact Moshu Filero with harissa lamb and spicy beans.
And we talk diss tracks, house hunting, and the joy of legumes. Hello! How you doing, Han?
I'm okay. You know what? Yeah, I'm okay. We were just talking before the podcast started rolling about SAD, because I feel like it's definitely rearing its head.
This week is a bad week for it. It's a super bad week for it.
This week is, I mean, historically a bad week for it. Blue Monday, I think, is the third. Yeah, it's the third Monday of January.
Yeah, so that was a couple of days ago now, and I think the feelings of Blue Monday do roll on all week. I don't think the Monday is the worst day of the week. I think Tuesday is the worst day of the week. People say it's Monday, but Monday, you know, generally you're like getting your ducks in a row again. Mm-hmm. You've still got a bit of like the weekend feeling to live off. Tuesday is the day where things actually turn to shit.
Yeah.
The weekend's quite a long way away on Tuesday.
I kind of do agree with like the, I don't know, I never like Mondays when I work full time. I just didn't really like any of the days. But something that reminded me of our lovely friends Mam Sham, they talked about it on their radio show, that Blue Monday is actually an advertising thing invented by Sky Holidays.
Oh, bollocks.
Yeah. So have you felt like booking a holiday in the last...
I booked a holiday last week, but not this week, probably because I booked a holiday last week.
Speaking of international travel...
I did get back from holiday as well, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
That'll be it. I just went for a little three-dayer in Paris and Amsterdam, and it was so nice. I actually think perfect length for a holiday. I am such a homebody that I start to get a bit homesick after about 5 days.
Aww.
3 days is perfect. And I ate so much good food.
Should we talk about the good food before or after we start munching down on this lovely plate of goodness that's in front of us?
Okay, maybe we should start eating and drinking a bit, and then I will tell you all about the best meal I had of my life, perhaps, in Paris.
I can't wait to hear. Okay, what have we got in front of us?
So today we're eating... I've realised that I haven't cooked you any beans, and I love beans.
I love beans.
Anyone who knows me knows that I basically live off beans. So today we've got some Greek baked beans with crispy lamb and tzatziki. So they're beans that have been stewed down.
Oh, good, ma'am.
Yeah. They've been stewed down in loads of celery and onion and carrots and tomatoes. Got some dried mint in there, some cinnamon, and then crisped up some lamb mince. Put some harissa in there, not because it's Greek, but because it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Lemiri harissa are a very nice small brand who make it that I am putting in all my meals at the moment. And then just a big dollop of tzatziki on top.
Oh, this is so good. This is so up my street. You know what I've been doing recently? I've just been buying it might be because I've just had to pay my tax bill, but no, I'm on a health kick / I'm poor. I've been buying like chickpeas and butter beans and then just kind of like chucking loads of sauces. And that's become like a really, really nice cheap lunch for me. I just think you know, the humble bean. It's just humble so bean. Fucking underrated.
I think it is the best healthy, cheap way to eat is mm-hmm. getting a tin of beans or a jar of beans and whacking a vegetable and a condiment. Mm-hmm. And you're done. You're golden.
Oh, this is amazing.
We're eating it cold because I feel like it's good cold. It would also be nice hot.
Yeah, really nice cold. I think also having the tzatziki not melting, I think is quite nice.
You don't want that hot. That would be weird.
I like kind of like the little gentle spice.
What are we drinking with it, Ham?
So today we are pairing this with an orange wine. So orange wines are kind of like the go-to wine if you want something that's going to pair with, like, you know, notoriously difficult to pair with foods. Orange wine is a little bit of like a sommelier secret weapon. When I did my supper club with Rahel Stephanie, aka Spoons, the other month, I used like so many orange wines because kind of like the complex layered flavors of an orange wine pair really well with kind of like spicy flavors and complex cuisines from like across Europe. So today we are trying a orange wine from a producer called Troupis. Yeah, so this is from, well, this is their Root Gris Mocho Filero is the name of the grape variety.
It's a beautiful bottle.
It's such a gorgeous kind of like neon-y fun bottle. I got sent this from Naked Wines, so thank you very much, Naked Wines. I think it's like under a tenner or just over a tenner. I think it's like $11.99.
Value.
So Yanis Troupis is the name of the winemaker. It's 700 meters above sea level and in the heart of an ancient appellation on the island of Peloponnese. Oh, look at that colour. Oh, it's gorgeous. So the wines are usually completely gobbled up by locals. It's made from a grape called Mocho Filero, which is native to Greece. And it's like super fragrant and refreshing. And he uses a bit of skin contact in this wine to kind of give it this gorgeous texture, flavour, and like this lovely peachy hue.
It looks like a sunset.
It looks like peachy alcopops. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It looks like squash.
You know
I'm
what?
Into it.
It kind of reminds me of, you know how Pinot Gris, getting a bit of ASMR from there, you know how Pinot Gris or Pinot Grigio, like a lot of people don't know that the skins are actually like a lovely pinky goldeny colour.
Yeah.
So when you get skin contact Pinot Gris, it looks a lot like this. It kind of reminds me a bit of that. So I think we're going to get like lovely eclectic flavours of like pink grapefruit and satsuma. Oh, amazing. And some nice flowers as well.
It does look Woo! Very grapefruity. I'm excited to try it.
Oh my God, it looks amazing.
Oh, that's delicious.
It's so good. I think we've done...
It's really ripe and fruity. I love that.
I think we're in a bit of a stint where, like, yeah, full disclosure, we don't try the pairing before we actually come on air.
No, and they're working a treat.
They're working a treat this season. I think I've really stepped it up a notch.
This is really fruity. It does have little grapefruit hints to it.
Mm.
Oh, it's nice.
Kind of like a bit of almond as well. So it's kind of going to balance out the spice. The alcohol is there. I think it's around like 12%, but it's not kind of like as high as like 15 or 16%. It's not big and beefy. It's quite gentle, which complements the gentle fizz. I'm very happy with that.
Me too. I love that. It's going very nice with these beans too.
Oh, so now that we've got our food and our drink.
Now I can tell you all
tell
about Paris.
Tell me a bit more about Paris.
So you're also going to Paris in a few weeks' time.
I am indeed.
So I've got the advanced Paris knowledge for you.
Mm-hmm.
But Bistro Paul Bear is a restaurant that everyone talks about. It's in the 11th. And I've not been to Paris in a few years. And I feel like it's really blown up in that time.
Pre-COVID.
I think I last went to Paris with my ex-boyfriend. He was a vegetarian.
Wait a second. Wait, how long have you been with Coons for?
I've been with Coons for 4 years.
4 years. Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. So God, pandemic was like 3 years ago now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think last time I went to Paris, I was a very poor 22-year-old with a vegetarian. So eating choices were slightly more limited. We didn't go classic Parisian. This time we did. You have to call to book a table, which is very old school. I don't speak French and I was terrified about having to do it. So I got my best mate to call for me.
Mm-hmm.
She got the table. Thank you, Kate. And we went and it was the most perfect French restaurant experience you could possibly imagine. I had these scallops.
Oh, yeah. So, take me through the entire menu.
But I'm not even starting at the beginning. They gave us a cheesy gougère, which is basically just cheesy choux pastry buns. So delicious. We had that with a really nice, we were drinking Beaujolais and a really light Beaujolais, actually. It was the lightest Beaujolais I've ever had.
Was it Nouveau?
It wasn't Nouveau. It was from 2020, maybe.
Do you know the appellation? Was it one of the crews? Or was it just a straight up Bourges?
I'm going to have to Google it on my phone.
Straight up Bourges?
I'll show you some pics after.
I can't wait.
But, so we had the cheesy Duke Gougères, and mm-hmm. then we had a pig's head terrine and scallops in like this curried butter.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And then the piece de resistance, we had a big sirloin steak in the middle of loads of sautéed potatoes with peppercorn sauce poured all over it.
Mm.
Holy shit. I'm not really a steak girl, but I am now a steak girl. That was an experience. It was so good.
I remember growing up, like, if you ordered a steak, you thought you were, you know, like the most kind of like refined, like high taste. Like, yeah, I'm a bit of a foodie.
It's quite a Billy Big Bollocks thing to do, I think, ordering a steak. And I would very rarely order a steak.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But I feel like I had to empower it, and I'm so glad I did.
Was it like super thin?
It wasn't sliced super thin, no. It was like a, it was quite a big wedge of sirloin cut into little slices, and we were kind of helping ourselves from the middle. And then we had a rum bubba, which is, for those who don't know, just a rum-soaked cake with a whipped cream on top of it.
Oh.
And they left the bottle of rum on the table for us as well. We were so pissed by the end of
it. Did they know who you were?
I don't think so. It's Paris. Although someone did spot, a Parisian person came up to me in the restaurant and said, I love your recipes. She was so classy. I was like, a classy Parisian? That's who I am. Unbelievable.
You're international, baby. Oh, that's so sweet. Well, shout out, sexy Parisian lady.
Yeah, shout out Clémence if you're listening to this.
Clémence.
Lovely to meet you. So yeah, Bistro Paul Bert was my highlight of the week, food-wise. I always talk about restaurants, which I feel like is boring. I should probably tell you guys about food that I've cooked as well. Next time I will. Ham, what's the best thing you ate this week?
Oh, I had like a bit of a piggy week last week. I got invited to the St. John Vigneron lunch.
I saw that. That looked amazing.
Which is usually held every year, but this is my first year attending. I was so excited. I went with my lovely little plus one, Angus Kitchen, who we should get on the pod, actually. He's the second in command to Lee at Black Axe Mangal, and he's just an absolute through and through cherub.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, we went together and we were sat with Sarah from Goya Comms and Joe from the Evening Standard. And on either side of us, Fergus and Margot Henderson.
God, you're in exactly the right spot.
We were at the big boy table.
So Fergus Henderson is the chef proprietor of St. John, British food icon. His wife, Margot, also British food icon, runs Rochelle Canteen.
Oh, yeah.
With Melanie Arnold. Phenomenal restaurants.
Yeah. Got so pissed. So it kind of started off with like an informal wine tasting. So St. John's has its own brand wines, and they kind of like go directly to the domain, get them bottled, you know, the cool St. John branding.
They're really good value as well.
They're really good value. So the first thing was kind of meeting like with the winemakers, because they were all there and doing like an informal tasting. But like no one there was like, I think there were maybe like a handful of people that actually worked in wine, but it was mostly like food stuff and press and things like that. And then we got called up to the big long tables and we got so pissed. Margot was like handing around like big magnums of Cabernet Franc. We started off with an amazing snail and oak leaf salad.
Ooh.
Which was incredible. It was half soup, half salad, lovely big sloppy buttery dressing with the snails.
Ooh.
And some leaves to make it feel a bit more healthy. And then for our main course, we had the most amazing cassoulet. You know, when you kind of have a cassoulet and it's like, I mean, like, we both love beans.
I love cassoulet so much.
It was, like, so many beans, but every single portion had, like, a big hunk of pork, like, so much fat, ooh, so much tasty sausage, so good.
Pork and beans is the best food combination in the universe. I could live off pork and beans.
Yeah, by this point, we're all pretty pissed, and I have Margot Henderson's phone number now, which is pretty sick. She said, text me anytime you want to go to Rochelle Canteen. I was like, oh, my God.
We should go after a pod one day. Rochelle's one of my top spots in London.
Well, I can text her anytime I want a table.
And it's just around the corner.
So that was amazing. And then for dessert, I kind of looked at the menu, although I will say like my favourite ever dessert of all time is lemon tart with a lovely crisp buttery base that you can go, you can like bite through like that.
Yeah.
And a nice creamy, very sour. Bonus if there's like a little bit of like torched meringue on top. But I don't actually like citrusy cakes for dessert.
Really?
I don't like a lemon drizzle cake. I find them to be really dry. They can be quite confected.
No, I love a lemon drizzle.
But the dessert for this one was a clementine cake. And I was like, it's probably going to be shit. It was so good.
It would never be shit.
It would never be
John.
Shit. It was so moist. And it was so nice because like they kind of like plonked on the things together and then everyone was serving each other. So like Margot was cutting us some cake and that I was just such an amazing, but I had to leave at the height of the festivities because it was on Saturday, and on Sunday I had to be on Sunday brunch. Which
oh
was,
yes, Hannah had her TV debut, guys.
I had my TV debut, so I couldn't get too wasted on Saturday, even though it's nothing. Apparently there was like fighting and kissing, and I was like, oh, I can't believe I missed it. But I had to stay vaguely sober for Sunday B, as I call it, you know, because now I'm like a regular. I call it Sunday B. But yeah, that was quite a surreal experience. But you know how it is, you work it like up massively in your head. And then it just like flies by.
It goes off in a second.
I prepared like 3 pages of questions that they'd sent over and asked me. And I think I said about like 10% of it. And most of it was just saying to Tim Lovejoy, like, no, red sparkling wines are actually really nice. Please believe me.
Red sparkling wine is delicious. I feel like even if he was challenging you on the red sparkling wine, it's important that you went on and talked about it just to teach people that it is delicious.
It was.
And give a different point of view from what the classic kind of winemakers would say.
Well, we did win him over at the end because the third wine, he said, oh, I actually quite like that. I was like, there you go.
Yes.
But he was there. I think they were doing like a cute little good cop, bad cop thing because Simon came up to me after and was like, when are you going to be on next? What are you doing for us next? I was like, oh, thank you. Which is amazing. So yeah, hopefully so back exciting. On your screen soon. But yeah, I feel like I can't be anxious about anything anymore. Although having said that, my anxiety is playing up today. Me and Sophie are about to go to 2 events in the evening because we can't get enough of each other. Having one meal a week and seeing each other at every event just isn't enough.
No, let's just drag on the evening's festivities. Mm-hmm. Why the hell not?
Mm-mm-mm. I also saw you yesterday.
Because you did indeed. Because we can't get enough of each other.
Because we can't get enough of each other. But you told me something that I wasn't aware of, that you are moving house from possibly the nicest house in the world.
It's such a beautiful house.
What's going on?
So my housemate is moving to Amsterdam, my best friend in the world. And I live in a gorgeous house, but we won't be able to pay the rent with just the two of us anymore. And it seems like the natural time to go it alone and just go live me and Cam. So probably sometime in the spring, we're going to move house. But the rental market is insane. I don't know if you're living in a cozy flat where you don't need to hunt. But the housing market is doing crazy things right now. House prices in London seem to be coming down a bit if you're buying, but the rental market is insane. We're looking at these flats. Which,
how much are we looking at for like a one bedroom flat?
We saw a tiny one bed in Broccoli that was up for 1,900. That's the kind of prices you're looking at. It's crazy. So we may actually just be better off staying in our house. Who's to say? But sending solidarity to anyone else who is looking at Right Move every 10 minutes right now, because it is a ball ache.
Yeah.
And why isn't Rishi doing anything about it?
Yeah, Rishi. You know what?
Speaking of Rishi,
I've been seeing this advert for like, it's the vegans. And they're saying, we are offering Rishi Sunak £1 million if he goes vegan. Have you seen this?
No.
There's like loads of cheap adverts. And I think they really think they're doing something. It's not Peter, but it's kind of like a similarly like misguided vegan.
I mean, he's not going to respond to it, is he?
He's not going to respond.
I don't think he needs a million pounds.
He doesn't need it. And I'm like, guys, you really think you're doing something? But like, Rishi Sunak does not need £1 million.
No, he doesn't care.
I just think that they think it's just like this big statement. It's just a bit like, why are you trying to give this evil man more money?
Donate it to somebody, please.
Your target audience hates. Why are you offering money to this person? Just like completely winds me up.
He does a very good job of, I mean, generally, apart from horrific instances like asking homeless people if they work in business, of staying really quiet. Alarmingly quiet.
So you just got to stay quiet. But yeah, I haven't been looking for a rental for quite some time, but the last place that I rented when I was just like living in a flat share was just off Columbia Road. So like central, but not like super central. And it was £750, not including bills, for the tiniest little box room that was probably only about the size of that sofa. You could get a bed in it, and I could get a wardrobe at the end of the bed, and that was literally it.
Jesus, welcome to London.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm normally anti people slagging off London, but it's so expensive. This time that I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm from here. Where am I meant to go?
They're fucking ridiculous. Yeah,
my mum and dad are here. Where am I going to go? Middle of nowhere.
Maybe you could both move to Nottingham.
Maybe it's time. Do you know, every time I go up to Nottingham, where my partner is from, I look at the house price, I'm like, geez, it's so cheap here.
Maybe
this is where I should go. Maybe it's time. Should we go back to the East Mids?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Hannah's not committing to that one.
I lived in Nottingham for a couple of years, but I was very, very small. We moved because of the gun crime that was like in the area that we lived in, which is Forest Fields, which at the time was a little bit like trigger happy. But I don't know if I could go back. But Nottingham, every time I visit, like when I'm visiting my parents, it's just so much going on.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
When you're a kid, it's just like the field and the school and yeah, whatever. But yeah, I maybe we should. Maybe this is our sign.
Cam's from Beeston and they've got a ton of amazing restaurants and pubs and bars and stuff there. Mm. They've opened recently a shop called Essen, which has got natural wines and nice cheeses and stuff, which is the first kind of natural wine spot in Beeston. Mm. And honestly, now I'm like, I could definitely
fuck
live
it
here.
Yeah,
I could definitely be here.
Maybe we're kind of just talking it through, actually, because we're both talking about how anxious we are about going to events and how, I mean, aside from like the biggies, we don't really care about going to events anymore.
It's not even just events. I feel like I'm anxious to go to literally anything. I'm anxious to leave the house at the moment.
Mm.
It's, yeah, to go to friends, to go see my family. I'm always anxious.
It feels a bit much right now. I was playing a video game earlier and like my heart rate was like all the way up here. Like,
what video game
were
you playing?
To be fair, I was playing The Last of Us. And I was just getting like chased by zombies. And I was like, maybe this isn't good for my blood pressure.
Maybe it's not a zombie day.
One thing I really want to talk about very desperately is Shakira.
Yes.
And how she found out that she was getting cheated on. Have you seen this?
Can you tell me? Because I feel like I've seen a lot of things on the internet, but tell me.
So she figured out that her partner was cheating on her because she was away. She came back and someone had eaten her jam.
Oh my God, yes. She'd been eating her bloody jam.
Yeah. And she was like, but he's never touched jam in his life.
And apparently she was seen in videos in Shakira's clothes, walking around behind him in Zoom calls.
Wait, who was it?
I think she's a model who's about 13 years old.
Okay, sick, yeah, classic.
Allegedly. I think she's actually not 13 years old. I think she's probably 20. But Shakira's just dropped a track this week,
okay,
which is one of the best diss tracks I've ever heard on a former partner. It's a banger and it's in Spanish, but I'm going to read you a translation of some of the lyrics.
Go on.
Because it's so good. She says, "No hard feelings, baby. I wish you the best with my supposed replacement. I'm worth two 22s. She must be 22. You traded a Ferrari for a Twingo. You traded a Rolex for a Casio. You're going fast, slow down. A lot of gym, but you'll work out your brain a little too." Jesus. And she says, "You left me as a neighbour to the mother-in-law with the press at the door and the debt at the IRS. You thought you'd hurt me, but you made me tougher. Women don't cry anymore. Women invoice." That must be to do with... Doesn't sound so melodic in English,
yeah,
does it?
Yeah.
I imagine it rhymes in Spanish, but she's even referencing her tax troubles where he must have fucking dobbed her in it.
Surely, like, when you're, like, currently being under investigation for alleged tax dodging, you're not going to release a song about it. You're meant to stay a bit quiet about it, surely.
Maybe feels like a breach of law.
But is she implying that, like, he was the brains behind it?
I guess so, yeah. Maybe that's why she did it, sprinkling a little nugget for the, for the popo.
Mm.
I love it. It's such a good song.
You know what it reminds me of recently? Can't remember if we talked about it. I don't think we have. Lana Del Rey, her new album.
Oh, yeah.
She's only had one billboard made for it, and it's in her ex-boyfriend's hometown. That's a level of cattiness.
I love the catty. In the same vein, Miley Cyrus has just released a song this week that I'm seeing on TikTok a lot. She dropped it on her ex-husband Liam Hemsworth's birthday. And it's an interpolation of Bruno Mars's Flowers.
How was that go?
The one she does is like, "I could buy myself flowers." And it's all about, she's talking about doing things that she can do for herself. But apparently it's a song that he really liked and dedicated to her at their wedding and then cheated on her and they split up. So she's dropped his favourite song, her version, on his birthday.
I like that. Well, one thing I have been talking about loads is just interpolations just being like the done thing now.
They don't come up with anything new now.
They don't. It's like
I sound like an elderly person.
But it's true. It's the equivalent of releasing Toy Story 7 or Jaws 13.
Come up with a new tune.
Doing like it can be done. I'm trying to think of because so many interpolations were done last year and it just made everything a bit shit.
Yeah, you hear it on the radio all the time.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I love this song. You're like, wait, what the fuck is this? David Guetta did it with that. I'm blue.
Oh my god, yeah.
But changed it to I'm good.
I'm good, yeah. I'm feeling all right.
Yeah, exactly. What else was...
The other one that I'm hearing a lot at the moment is Central C doing the interpolation of Let It Go.
Oh, no. Yes! Something, oh, God, I've heard
talking about
this.
Someone's pussy in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In oh, the wait. Chorus.
So I... Let me read out these lyrics first. So the only time that I hear the original song Let It Go with that kind of guy that sings like a sheep...
It's quite a magic number.
I tend to hear it in... coffee shops.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that it's a lot of unimaginative people's first dances at their wedding.
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard this song like at all, but like this guy's put like a drill beat behind it. Because only know that you've been high when you're feeling low. Yep. Only hit the roads when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. You said that pussy mine, so why'd you let it go? Haha, you're such a hoe.
Oh, it's romantic, isn't it? He seems like such a villain. I really don't like it. Don't like his vibe. I don't like his music. Okay.
So I would agree with you, but then I watched his, I love watching the, you know, the yellow background where they explain the lyrics. I really liked his vibe. He seemed really sweet.
Maybe he's all right. Also, I'm like not that into the grime scene, so I feel like maybe I'm just missing a trick.
But it's so funny because like, I think he looks like a tiny baby, but he's been in the game for like 9 years. So,
I mean, how nice. Old is he?
God, like literally every single tab right now just says Central C. 24, but he's been doing it for a
Jesus,
time.
I guess. Yeah. You start young, don't you? Wait, he's charismatic.
Yeah.
And I think that's where his talent ends.
He's charismatic, but now I kind of feel like there's a really interesting thing happening with like, because UK rap kind of just like completely burst onto like the international scene.
Yeah,
especially with TikTok, maybe like around 5-6 years ago, or maybe like less than that, like 4 years ago.
But I guess Drake was pulling into it a bit earlier than that.
Yeah. And Jonah Hill, I like, absolutely adores it. But Central C has now moved to LA.
Has he?
A British grime rapper in the US.
Bloody hell. So I mean, good
like,
on him.
Literally, because like, yeah, the Americans are eating up, but it's literally being imported over. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that develops. As kind of like, would you be able to like write like convincing, hard hitting like UK rap if...
When you're not in the UK, is your perspective just going to get really warped?
Yeah, if you're in Los Angeles.
And you're
going to
start singing about things that people don't really resonate with or care about.
Exactly.
Lose your edge. What is your favourite diss track of all time?
Ooh... Good question. Diss tracks. So, Lemonade.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of Lemonade, but Don't Hurt Yourself.
Yes.
If Jack White and Beyonce were to write a song and I would want it to be perfect, that it would be Don't Hurt Yourself.
It's such a good
it's
song.
It's so Beyonce. She's amazing.
I've got goosebumps thinking about it.
Who the fuck do you? Yeah, she's so good. But like Jack White is also just like, he's just got like some strange ideas about women. Anyway, he writes bangers, but he's just a little bit strange with
it. A bit of a weirdo.
But honestly, the drums as well. The drums are absolutely insane. He's such a great drummer. His vocals are like very few and far between, but like really good. It's like such a Jack White sound, but she like slips so seamlessly into it. Ah, such a good song.
Lemonade as a whole diss track album. Yes. But yeah, that is definitely it.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Oh, Lemonade. I want to go listen to loads of Lemonade.
I need to rewatch Lemonade, actually.
Oh,
I just
me
love
too. Long
Beyonce's, she did an interview. She was like, I just feel like people don't make albums anymore. Like
they
make like records like full of singles, but they don't make like albums.
That was an album.
Ugh, she's such a legend.
I want to see her and just, I'll probably sob my eyes out. That's fine.
1975 came and went and I missed it.
I know, I was on the verge of buying tickets because I saw that they'd released a new date, but it's when I was in Amsterdam.
Well, that Taylor Swift came out on the first night. Who came out on the second night?
No one. And apparently he was being really moody on the second night. Apparently he came out and was like, I'm not bringing out anyone else, sorry. And everyone was like,
oh, wow.
Do you know who else has announced a big gig run this week? Madonna is doing a greatest hits tour.
Wow.
Which I would actually lap up. I'm definitely going to be logging on
for that. They're reanimating her for the purposes of a tour. She don't know. That's really rude because she's in fucking good nick.
She's in really good nick. She's got, I think she's got quite a lot of soft pumps in her face now, but she's rocking it.
She looks terrifying.
Respect
but she
to
can
you, Madonna.
Dance amazing.
She's still dance. She can still sing. She's still such a performer. I'll be there. I think tickets actually come out at 10 a.m. on Friday, which is the date this episode comes out. So if you're listening to this pre 10 a.m. and you want to see Madonna,
fucking get on it.
Log on.
This is
get in there.
This is a call to arms. Go
advance
and see
warning.
Madonna. I haven't got anything planned in terms of music for the new year, although I think I'm definitely going to go back to Gala. Gala for me was like my perfect festival last year. It wasn't too crowded. It was sunny. It was kind of, at least in that year, I don't know if they do it the same other years, but it was kind of like 3 days were split into genres.
Yeah.
So everyone was kind of there on a similar vibe.
You get to suit your thing.
Yeah. So Friday was kind of like the jazzy vibe and everyone there was kind of, you know, expecting a similar thing. There weren't too many records. It was like, yeah, it was really good fun.
Good vibes.
I also just like a festival where you can like sit down and see.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was done quite well because where it was in Peckinpah Park, it was kind of like an amphitheater, so even if you were standing behind a really tall person you could still see over their head. It was really good, so you should definitely
that is a perk. It's near me as well, maybe I will do it this year.
A ticket that I really really want to get is Cross the Tracks, because
Cross the Tracks is so fun.
No Worries are playing, so Anderson .Paak's going to be there. And Masego is going to be there, and I've never seen Masego, and I would love to see him. Alpha Mist, Children of Zeus, exclusive of the full live band. I saw them at Garland; they were fucking sick. Yasmin Lacey, who's fucking sick. Oh my god,
that's gonna be wicked.
I just gotta go. I gotta go.
Is it still Brockwell?
Yeah, it's in Brockwell Park.
Nice.
Oh, it's gonna be amazing. £49.50. I just got to get it.
It's a really nice festival.
Yeah,
it's a good layout. I've got one festival booked for this year, and it's the Biggie. Going to Glastonbury. I'm very excited about.
I don't know this about you. How have you never mentioned this before?
I don't
before?
Know how not, normally everyone bangs on about when they get Glastonbury.
Yeah,
It feels mean because loads of people didn't get tickets. It felt rude to do an Instagram post saying I got Glastonbury tickets.
Who
didn't
do you
want
think
to rub
is,
it in people's faces.
Who do you think is the headliners?
Well, Elton's the only one confirmed so far.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Hoping for 1975 to make an appearance.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Apparently Arctic Monkeys are like hotly tipped to be headliners, which I am conflicted about because old stuff, really into, new stuff, not into.
Yeah, AM's an amazing album, but after that they kind of peaked.
Yeah, yeah. Anything post like 2016, I don't really want to know about.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that happens. I'll probably go to get some earlier stuff and then run away.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if Taylor Swift appeared again.
Because
she was supposed to headline in the year that was cancelled. And
got
I think
you.
I would enjoy it myself.
Oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
I wasn't an old time Taylor Swift fan. And literally this year, I got into Taylor Swift. Age 28.
I think that I'm like one of those really annoying, mean people where I think I'm too good for Taylor Swift. But
no one's too good for Taylor Swift.
I don't think anyone is.
It's what I learned this year.
Shall we do some letters?
I think we should.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Good. I'm ready to address some problems.
We've got three problems in our inbox today.
We've got meaty ones today.
I know, we've got a few meaty ones. Yeah, we've got one wee one and a few big meaty ones. Right, let's move on up.
Hit me
here.
Up.
Okay, start off with a small one just to get us warmed up. Francesca gets in touch. How can I become more confident and adventurous with my food and wine choices rather than defaulting to safe options that I know and like?
Ooh. I think the key to this is that you've got to make some mistakes before you learn what you like.
Right.
You have to get experimental and order things that are out of your comfort zone. And the more you do that, the more you'll learn. I think it's as much about what you don't like as it is about what you like. And you need to get some things which aren't right for you before you know what you do want.
I'm kind of like, it doesn't say in the letter, but I'm assuming you mean it's like a combination between ordering in restaurants and also making stuff for yourself.
Yeah. Also, I guess going to the supermarket and being like, which one of these wines do I want rather than getting the same one every time?
I'd say kind of, I think the way to go is to kind of like follow people like yourself, because like it's literally your job, right? To kind of be on top of like flavor combinations and like unexpected things. It's like
try and shake things up a bit occasionally.
Exactly. It's in your own interest to kind of have like exciting and viral unexpected recipes. So maybe start with the recipe.
Oh yeah, seek inspiration on the internet for sure.
Yeah, if you walk into a supermarket and you're like, fuck, I don't know what to get. I want to get something unexpected. But then you see like, I don't know, like some miso paste and you're like, what the fuck do I do with that? Maybe it's a good idea to go in with a plan.
I think it is, but I also think quite fun just to randomly grab things on a shelf and see what's up, rather than letting your taste be entirely guided by what other people say they like. Just go crazy. I know that it doesn't financially always feel comfortable to buy something that you don't know if you're going to like.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I love walking around Chinese supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the shelves and seeing if there's any kind of sauce or condiment or like a type of noodle that I've never had before, and bringing that home and being like, how do I make this good? What do I do with this?
I like that. That's very sound advice.
And experiment.
Then, yeah. And then with the wine, I think, I know that there's kind of like this stereotype that really prevails of like the snooty sommelier who just kind of wants to push like what they want to sell rather than what you might like. But honestly, like they're hired to specifically be sommeliers for a reason. Same goes for like, and I said this before, same goes to like people who work in wine shops. Like just ask them and tell them like what you've previously liked. And like, if I like this, then what would be like an interesting place to branch out to? That kind
That's
of thing.
A really good shout.
People are literally paid to do that. So if they're mean to you, then you should report them on social media.
I think lots of time where people have tried to do that with sommeliers and restaurants in particular is because they're worried that they're going to be recommended something that's way out of their price range and they're just going to have to backtrack and go for something because they're too embarrassed to say,
I don't
want to pay for that one. But you can say to a sommelier, I don't want to spend too much. I just want something that's this, and go from there.
Like a good sommelier will be able to make three different recommendations within 3 points of three different price ranges.
Yeah.
So just ask them. It's their job. It's their job. But hopefully that helps. Okay, next off, we have Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Steph.
First off, thanks for a lovely podcast. My question is about how to deal with pretentious people in the wine industry.
Ooh.
So I feel like you might be able to weigh in on this too with food stuff. She says, I've just taken my WSET3 and I've been working in the wine industry. I was making it, but I'm now on the business side of things.
Well done, you.
I know, amazing. But I still really struggle with the pretentiousness. I end up feeling so stupid when speaking to people who name drop all the time. How do I deal with these people? I end up feeling so silly and unconfident. Thanks, Stephanie.
Aww.
Oh, girl. Well, first of all, well done on making it on the business side of things, because I was literally being interviewed yesterday and this guy said like, oh yeah, do you think there's kind of like been signs of progression in the wine industry? And I was like, in like influencing like consumer side, yeah. In like the business side of things, fuck no. Like there are people that have kind of been in the same job for 25 years. The world of collecting fine wine is still very much like a male oriented space. So well done, first of all, for getting into the business side of things, because you've definitely moved from kind of like the unfussy, unpretentious side of wine into the more pretentious side of wine. Wine's a really difficult one, right? Because you can't know anything. No matter how much you know or you think you know, that you'll go to an event and you'll just have a complete ego shave. I went to an event the other day and I felt like such a sore thumb. I was like the youngest woman there by far who was tasting. Everyone was wearing suits and I was wearing a beanie. It was amazing to be there. But some of the winemakers were really patronizing and not very nice. It's just like, oh, come on. Well, they either said like, this is our grand cru and just like left it to us. Or they were like, so this wine is made out of this grape. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But like, I want to know like specific things. I feel like as a woman in the wine industry, while there are like amazing places to go to, and yeah, the place that I went to was just like, there were lots of amazing, wonderful people who were like really generous with their knowledge, which I really enjoyed. But I think that event is a good example, because while those amazing people exist, there's always going to be someone that's like a little bit difficult. And I think that's the same for any industry, but unfortunately also particularly wine. I come away from events quite often feeling a bit stupid, but that's because you can never learn everything about wine. Like, there's always something new to learn. There's always going to be a new vintage. And within that vintage, there's like thousands and thousands of like appellations and regions to learn from. And it's just absolutely impossible. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think that feeling of stupidity will ever 100% leave. Mm. But I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What do you think, Soph? Am I chatting shit?
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with you, Han. I think that you can't ever know everything about anything.
Any specific subject.
About anything at all. And obviously, sometimes people make you feel really shit in situations when you don't know something, and that isn't okay. But it does spur you on to learn more and to do more and to get out there more. I think that it's just important not to get disheartened, because in so many professional environments, especially networky ones, you can find yourself in situations where people can make you feel quite rubbish about yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it's important just to try and develop quite a thick skin to it and stay resolute in what you know and what you want. Easier said than done sometimes, but
it fucking sucks having to feel like you're having to fight to be in the room.
Yeah.
But you're in the room, goddammit. And if you aren't in the room, then other women might not feel like they can come into the room. So you've kind of got to be a bit of a beacon if you're kind of in situations where you really genuinely feel that are very pretentious. If you give up and then there's like one last woman in the room, then that might... That sounds like too much responsibility to give that poor woman.
Well, I mean, just big respect to you for being there and doing it anyway, because, yeah, it's really not easy being a woman in a male-dominated industry. I think both of us have had experiences working in places like that where we haven't been made to feel that good about ourselves in the past. So just sending you a lot of love and respect, and it will mean a lot to other women that you are doing the work that you do.
Yes, very well put. And in terms of how do I deal with these people, just kill them with kindness, be really nice and polite, and then go away,
always
bitch about it to your friends, and just kind of work on, stay in your lane, just work on being a better version of yourself, and don't give a fuck about what those people think, because they must be rude to you for a reason.
Jealousy is almost always jealousy.
It's because
jealousy.
You're young and sexy. That's why they don't like you. I hope that helps. Finally, Josie gets in touch. Hi friends, I need your help. I am currently studying wine and gastronomy and absolutely love the food and bev world. I've been meaning to start posting more relevant content to my socials and work towards making that a bit more of a career-based space for me. But I keep feeling held back by feelings of fear and embarrassment. How do you both balance being professional and also your genuine self on social media? Did you also have to get over the initial fear of taking yourself too seriously? And if so, any tips on getting over it? Lots of love, podcast slaps, and I hugely admire you both.
Oh, that's a lovely message.
Thank you,
Josie. Also, yes, I have felt so embarrassed, scared, worried about taking myself too seriously, worried about the person I'm coming across as on social media all the time. And it can be really scary putting things out there and not knowing how it's going to land. And it doesn't always land. Mm. And you basically just have to keep plowing on with it.
I think we had this conversation the other day where I was just like, I'd started recording a few videos and I was like, this doesn't feel like me. I was like, I'm going to do like a 30 days of content kind of thing. I did the first few days and like making the videos themselves were fine. But like, I was just like looking at myself. I was like, that's not how I talk.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like that social media branded talk. And I think that one of the reasons that we get on and we're such good friends is because although we very much exist in the social media space, we're very much not social media-y people.
Yeah. You have to just be true to yourself. And it's a really hard thing. You can overanalyze it and wonder, am I being me?
Yeah.
But I think there is always a way to do it in a way that is you.
And authentic to yourself.
And I don't always get it right. I feel like sometimes I put things out and I think, that wasn't very me at all. And then you just have to go back to the drawing board and think, well, what is me?
Yeah.
I think that nothing, things don't resonate with people unless you are being yourself.
Yeah.
I also, this is a really small and silly bit of advice, but sometimes when you're worried that you're being too serious on social media, all it takes before you record a voiceover, take a picture, do any talking to camera, is make yourself smile.
Yes.
I've done it before where you record something and you think, I sound fucking miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I sound so miserable? And you literally just have to do a fake smile.
Yeah.
Think about something funny, make yourself laugh, and then go.
Yeah.
And then it comes across as a lot more jolly and natural and the person that you see yourself as or the person that you want to see yourself as.
Yeah, you got to fake it till you make it, basically. What was it like posting? Do you remember posting your first ever talking to camera video?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I guess the first talking to camera videos that I would have done would have been in a professional environment. So
with Twisted.
So at Twisted and then at Mob. Obviously, I got a lot of practice being on camera then. I used to be crap on camera.
Really?
It definitely takes practice being on camera. I don't think anyone is automatically a natural when it comes to presenting. Mm-hmm. Presenting takes a bit of time. But I think the first few videos that I posted myself, I was fucking terrified. Because it's a bit different when you have the backing of a company behind you. When you're doing it on your own platform without those numbers and without those people there, that's definitely more scary. You can look back at my reels and have a good laugh if you'd like.
It can also feel quite maddening when you're the only person in the house. And you're like, hi, guys.
Yeah.
And then when you stop talking, you go, fuck's sake.
Yeah, when you hear yourself breathing in between takes, that is humbling. That is really humbling.
Yeah, it's all about, you kind of got to drop the ego, because I don't necessarily
entirely,
think it's coming from a vain place. I'm definitely not saying that, but I'm saying it's kind of about worrying about what people think. And I think that people can tell if you worry too much about what other people think.
Definitely.
They can tell if you're literally just doing it for you. I mean, also any mean comments I've ever, again, we were talking about this yesterday. Any mean comments I've ever received, I've reframed them as just like laughing at them. I just fucking love it when I get a mean comment. It's so funny. Like, a win is a win. And then you can make even that into content. Like when I did, I appeared in a Times article that the lovely Hannah Evans wrote. And it was just, there's so many horrible comments from Times readers about like pretentious London hipster wankers. And I made them into a reel. I turned them into inspirational quotes. And I was like, this is just so good. So you just got to reframe the way you're looking at things.
Poppy Cooks does that really well. I mean, she gets so much misogyny on the internet. It's a joke.
Really?
But she makes amazing content surrounding it.
What is she? I don't
so
think
you want
I
inspiration,
follow her.
Give her a go. Poppy _ Cooks, the potato queen from TikTok. She's lovely, Poppy. She's a really, really good, cool girl. I think, leaving your ego at the door is probably one of the first steps into feeling a bit more relaxed about social media. I think I felt really worried about like what my friends who don't work in food and social media would think of me posting myself on social media. And you also just have to leave that behind. Like people generally will be excited for you and be happy for you. People who love you will be happy, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Hopefully that helps. But I think that's all we have time for. Sophie, is there anything that you want to plug at the moment?
Nothing in particular, you know. I'm doing a pop-up this weekend, but that's sold
out. Oh, boo.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
they're so popular.
They're selling out quite quickly these days, which is very exciting for me, but I'm sorry for people who don't manage to get tickets. I'm hoping this year to get lots more pop-ups going. So
just
if you want
freelance, baby.
I'm a freelance lady and I love to cook. So if you want to eat my food in real life, then keep your eyes peeled. On my Instagram at Sophie Wybird for any event announcements.
Turn on notifications. Why
turn
stop
them
there?
On? Why the hell not?
I have notifications for your posts on, so I can.
Oh,
like,
how nice
so
friend!
I always have notifications for like my close mates. I'm like, I want to be like the first like.
Show me what's up.
Amazing. I don't know if I have anything to plug. Just keep supporting me. Keep liking my photos, because then brands want to work with me. I think that we'll finish the food, we'll finish our glass of wine, and then we will go to the book launch, which we'll talk about next week, and we'll go to a very exciting restaurant opening, which
we're
we'll
gonna
also
have a fun evening.
About next
we're gonna
week.
Have a fun evening.
This is just the pre-drinks.
It's a ladies in London night on the town.
It's a ladies London laughs love live laugh love.
It's going to be fun. It's just like Sex and the City.
It's like Sex and the City.
Just like Sex and the City.
It's exactly like Sex and the City.
If you enjoyed the podcast, then please leave us a rating, a review. Give us a five stars, a four stars.
Please.
Preferably no less than a four stars.
That would
if
be
you
nice.
Hate it, don't say anything at all.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.